This podcast was recorded on the lands of the Wangal people
and the Yagara Turrbal peoples.
This always was and always will be Aboriginal land.
Strap in. Buckle up. It's story time, folks. This is Australianorama.
Warning, this episode contains some swear words.
And chlamydia.
All right, Maddie, hello.
Hiya.
What's going on?
Oh, not much. Here with you to talk about something cool, something dumb, something mysterious. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's me.
That checks out. That's what I've got prepared, fortunately.
Yeah. How are you, doll?
Yeah, I'm pretty good, pretty good. You know, it's been quite nice weather here in Sydney. Mm-hmm. Well, it's been cold. It's been pleasant, nice and sunny.
Yeah, same here for a little treat. It's been actually cold in Queensland. Wow. And not raining. Because it did rain for about 6 months.
Yeah.
And everyone's covered in barnacles. So now we're able to chisel away at those barnacles. We're able to wipe off the mold, enjoy the sunshine.
Just air out, you know?
Yeah. Air out under a blanket because it's cold.
Yeah, it is quite cold. But yeah, that's good. Shall I tell you what I've prepared? Shall I tell you about the tale?
Yeah, go on.
Whatever.
All right. Yeah.
Okay. So today I'm going to tell you about a uniquely Australian thing or initiative, I guess, koala diplomacy. Which to me, I'm like, is it like, I don't know, I just picture maybe it's like Blinky Bill running for Prime Minister or something, you know?
Yeah, my brain goes to kangaroo court first and then it goes to koalas in Parliament, and then it goes to a big question mark because I'm sure it's neither of those things.
No, it's more, it is like, it's pretty literal. It's like koalas as a tool of diplomacy.
Yeah.
Anyway, so I'll get into that in a second, but just like a little bit of a, we'll go to the past first and then it's kind of where it is now. Because like koalas, people know what a koala is. It's probably like the second most recognizable animal globally after the panda. Pandas will come up as well. I think third is tiger, but it's quite like a distant third. Like it's panda, koala. And then there's kind of a bit of a fight as to which other animals are the most instantly like recognizable and known by people. Anyway, they're a big deal. They're like, I mean, they are super cute. They also, for the most part, have chlamydia, you know?
Yeah.
Maybe some of our international listeners may not know that. But yeah, it's kind of like endemic, I guess. Yeah. It's like
they're
it's
full
really
of
like
chlamydia.
Riddled with chlamydia.
All of them. They're just full of it. Head to toe. Claw to claw.
Yeah. They're slow moving. I assume they're smelly. I've never met one. But
their chlamydia is different to our chlamydia, is that right? Like it's a different
I'm pretty
strain
sure, yeah.
or something. Like we can't get chlamydia from a koala.
Not
that anyone should try, but just to reassure yourselves, if you climb a tree, you're
is,
not going to get an
different.
STD.
But they do all have STDs, bless them. But yeah, they're kind of, they are a symbol of Australia. And you know, also like Australian governments of years past and also now, they kind of export the image of the koala, but also sometimes koalas.
Themselves.
Like they've been doing it since like it's the late 1880s. They tried to like send a koala to like a London zoo. Like it made it, but then like it died in the zoo. It like got hit by like a wash basin. Yeah.
What? I thought you were going to say it got cold.
No, like something broke. Something broke and hit it on the head.
Oh.
Yeah, it's like really sad.
What the hell? How dare they?
Yeah. They also tried to send a platypus called Winston to the UK for Winston Churchill.
Yeah.
In, I think, World War II, but and it because they sent it by boat and it didn't survive.
Yeah, of course it didn't.
It's a platypus, and they may or may not have had it stuffed, like taxidermy.
Probably did. It's probably the Natural History Museum.
Mm.
In a drawer, unattended to.
Yeah. So with the first other, attempts.
Imported, colonized taxidermy animals.
Yeah, honestly. So the first attempts to, you know, share the koalas around, not necessarily successful. But the first koalas to live in an overseas zoo were named Snugglepot and Cuddle Pie, which is great. And they were sent to the San Diego Zoo in 1925. So that was fine. And, yeah, like, celebrities and public figures taking photos with koalas is not new. In 1934, in the Sydney Morning Herald, there's a photo of Prince Henry, who's the Duke of Gloucester, whoever that was, a prince in the 30s, on a royal visit to Sydney. And I quote that he was intensely interested in the bears. That's what they put in the Sydney Morning Herald.
Bear is a strong of the time. Word.
They're not bears. People, Americans in particular, Americans. Do they say koala bear? Yeah.
And you it's are not a wrong. Bear. Yeah, there are a few bear. Americans that listen. God bless you and your country, but and your troops. But they're not bears. Y'all, like, you can't be saying that.
It's simply just so a koala. Know.
Yeah, simply and if you're at San Diego Zoo, cut it out. It's take no bears.
Just visit the koala. But yeah, so after World War II, like, tourism to Australia is like picking up, as does the export of animals to overseas zoo, like including koalas. They're very popular. They are, like, you know, they're is Kardashians in a way, not just because they have this shared the initial and the butt. Okay, yeah. It's to do with their figure. But they it comes naturally to the koala, though. It's differently. Okay, so... And, yeah,
and what are you claiming here now, for the first time on air? What are you claiming? What accusations are you slinging around?
That...
The Kardashians.
I don't know. Are famous in the same way that koalas were... In the 30s.
Okay, we'll leave it at that.
And they model their appearance on the koala, perhaps.
Yeah, I'm sure that's in the latest season. I don't know.
Yeah, I've never seen it, so who knows? Anyway, I've lost track. yes, like Australian embassies, like now and for ages, forever, have like used koalas in their kind of marketing or like things to give people information about Australia, like particularly if they're targeting kids. And also, like, bit of a side note, but in the course of my research, I saw someone describe like the Blinky Bill TV show as a radical environmentalist children's show.
Wow.
Thinking about it, that's true. Like the movie, they're talking about like deforestation and bushfires and stuff.
Blinky Bill was the Captain Planet of our 90s childhood.
Yeah, loss of habitat. It's still a real problem. I feel like I've like breathed something in. I feel like it was a little bit of a biscuit that I had eaten. I'm free. Okay.
It's all professional here, folks.
Mm. But yeah, so Blinky Bill is a cartoon koala. And he was actually created in the 1930s. And so I think that also the emergence of that cartoon and also then the ability to send physical koalas out places that kind of really did a lot for the brand image of the koala.
But also post-World War II was our highest wave of immigration in Australia as well. Yeah. And it was countries outside of the UK who were starting to move over here. And so I imagine, you know, if you were from Eastern Europe or continental Europe and you moved over here and you saw a bloody koala, you're probably going to write a letter about it. Like, that's something to write home about, you know?
Yeah. It genuinely is. They're pretty exciting. But yeah, so there's a lot of pictures of people holding koalas and lots of like reports about it. So for example, Queen Elizabeth obviously has held a koala. Prince Harry, the Emperor Naruhito and Empress Masako of Japan, although this was when they were Crown Prince and Princess respectively. Mm-hmm. They've held the koalas. Pope John Paul II, US President Bill Clinton, Soviet Premier Mikhail Gorbachev, I think that's how you pronounce that. And, sure, of course, Nelson Mandela. All these people have been photographed on, you know, their official visits holding koalas.
And most recently, Chrishell Staus, everyone's new favourite queer, who is dating G-Flip.
Ah, did they go to, like, where is it, Lone Pine?
No, it was in Sydney somewhere.
At Taronga, so probably
Taronga. Taronga. Yeah. Our most latest diplomatic relationship to have been established.
Okay, but so the term koala diplomacy. In 2014, G20 in Brisbane, like political like summit thing hosted by then Prime Minister Tony Abbott. This is when the term koala diplomacy kind of catches on, enters the zeitgeist. Bunch of people hold koalas, including there's photographs that you would have seen them. It's like Barack Obama.
Yeah, I remember
and
that.
And it's Putin holding koalas. Like they did, I mean, all the world leaders were offered to hold them. Most were keen, except for a few, including the German Chancellor at the time, Angela Merkel. I'm always never sure if it's Angela or Angela. Anyway, and the British PM David Cameron. They're like, no, thank you.
Wow. Okay, sure.
Yeah. And I mean, fair enough, because like I think at G20, no one was like pooed on. Like it was fine. Like, and you know,
but
so maybe they've
happen.
Held before. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I mean, Merkel's pretty serious. Maybe she just didn't want it.
Mm. I saw her nice during suit. G20, actually, eyewitness account. Well, I saw her car go past because I was doing tech in the CBD, which was horrific during G20 because we weren't allowed to carry lighters or eggs or anything in the city. But her car went past and can verify was not holding a koala.
Mm.
So
there we go. It's our eyewitness on the ground.
Account. Yep.
But yet Singapore were keen, like they wanted like a private sitting. They got to hang out with the koala.
Oh,
on their
a
own
private too. Sitting with the
yeah.
koala.
Mm, that's
what
how it's
they,
described.
Do you know what they spoke about? What was on the agenda?
I can't imagine.
Chlamydia.
Eucalyptus. The many benefits of eucalyptus and ways to treat chlamydia. Blinky Bill. And yeah, so then in 2016, actually, koala diplomacy is the Oxford word of the month for December. And so essentially, koala diplomacy is a form of soft power diplomacy.
Literal.
Is what it is called. And it is kind of takes its name from panda diplomacy, which is what China does.
Yes, of course. Yeah.
And they've literally done it for centuries. It's like giving a panda as a gift. It's like a big like symbol. And yeah, it's like for diplomatic reasons. China actually now leases the pandas, which is like it's quite expensive. I mean, to care for a panda, very expensive. So they have it on like a lease, and so whoever is like hosting the panda pays China to have the panda.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I wonder if Australia zoos are leased or if they've, you know, paid out in full or if they were a gift.
It depends how long
Fast Terry.
We've had them. Yeah, because they could be a... If they've been here for a while, they could have been a gift.
Mm.
But if they're a more recent acquisition, they would be on loan. And some of that lease money does, I think there's like some new thing where it does go to like panda habitats in China. That's part of the lease agreement. But yeah, a famous like modern example, modern not being like super recent, is like in the 70s, they gave one to Richard Nixon in the US. That was a big deal at the time. And he apparently then gave China 2 musk oxen. I don't know what that is. I don't know what a musk ox is.
A big cow.
Is it a big cow?
I think so. Musk.
Mm.
Ox. I'm pretty sure it's like, it looks like a buffalo, right? But it isn't a buffalo. I've looked it up.
Mm.
Yeah. It's the one that looks kind of like halfway between a really big cow and a buffalo.
Okay. Oh, I see. They've got kind of like a big noggin and like curly horns.
Quite the hump.
Like, they're pretty cool. Like, I mean, they're no panda. I guess that's why they gave two.
Yeah, they knew.
Mm.
They knew.
But yeah, and koalas, like pandas, are tricky to care for. And cute. Like, but like, that's what they kind of share. But and it's expensive
and
to care
sleepy.
For them.
And sleepy.
Yeah. That's true. Slow moving. But so essentially, like, accepting one is a show of a commitment to a long-standing relationship. That's mm-hmm. kind of the deal, both with panda diplomacy and with koala diplomacy. Because mm-hmm. When the earlier, you know, koala diplomats, I guess, were to places like the US and the UK, but now it's very much Asia.
Yeah.
Like loaning koalas to like Singapore and Japan. And they gave some to Singapore in 2015. They loaned them, Australia loaned 4 koalas named Paddle, Polita, Chan, and Italia, I think. Unless that's, I feel like that one actually is a autocorrect. Anyway, doesn't matter. 4 koalas. It's something like that, but it's not that. So there, that was like to Singapore for a year in like, 'cause 2015, it was a gift to mark the 50th anniversary of Australia-Singapore relations and Singapore's 50th year of independence. And they do like word it that way in the media release. It's like, yes, it's about your independence, but it's like, no, it's about the relationship first. And in a media release about that, like Julie Bishop, who was the foreign minister at the time, refers to the Koala Diplomacy Initiative. Like, she refers it as like an initiative.
Yeah.
And she estimates that the advertising value from giving the 4 of them to Singapore is about $4 million to reach an estimated audience of 1 billion people. So that's the advertising value, not what they spend. It's like, that's what it gave them. And like Qantas was having to ship like fresh eucalyptus leaves to Singapore for that time.
Because they don't,
they didn't
That's
have.
When
some
you said
places
California,
do have it,
when you said San Francisco, I was like, oh, that kind of makes sense because there's eucalyptus trees there and the climate is similar to a lot of the East Coast here, that kind of West Coast. But Singapore.
If there's like Singapore and like Japan, they kind of like set it up. They get a supply going. Whereas I think because for Singapore, it was like a pretty quick thing, like to organize it. So they didn't have time to establish the trees.
Qantas was like, here you go. Fresh delivery.
That
would have been quite
crazy.
The Uber Eats bill.
Yeah. So that was 2015. And in 2016, like Australia ranked 6th globally for soft power diplomacy.
Yeah, that doesn't surprise me.
And so the Department of Foreign Affairs and Trade apparently like formalized this diplomatic strategy around 2014 with a 600-page manual about
Jesus.
It. Yeah, like the use of koalas for soft power diplomacy.
600 pages on the koala diplomacy specifically.
Yep.
Wow.
Yeah. It's, I couldn't find that. Obviously, I can't find that particular manual. It's not for me, but. because what was I going to say? Oh, according to the Sydney Morning Herald, Julie Bishop, again, when she was Foreign Affairs Minister, said koala diplomacy should not be underestimated as it portrays Australia in a soft light and promotes our values as an open, free, tolerant democracy. And it's something that especially like the Liberal government around that time spent a lot of money on.
Oh yeah.
Some people were quite critical of spending like $200,000 on koala photo shoots and stuff.
Yeah.
But also like a big part of it is like trying to counteract the image of Australia just kind of happily taking money from Asia, but yeah. not fully like participating in that sphere, like being sufficiently respectful. So it is like, it's a totally a branding exercise.
Yeah. But they've done similar things with like shipping Tony Abbott over to the UK, and obviously he's not a koala, but the whole first set of images was him with Boris Johnson being like, here's some Tim Tams, you know, and Matthias Cormann gets flown around Europe and they're like, Australia's just like your cool friend, my guy, and if you ever have a war, we'll be there, but in the meantime, please buy our coal. You know, it's like this image of kind of being the larrikin that's kind of a good mate. And I can see how the idea of koala diplomacy ties into that, because it's like, we're not a threat.
It's just like a cozy, recognizable symbol. And it is like second only to the panda. And because when you talk about like in, I guess like movies and writing and stuff, they talk about like save the cat. Like it's like a character will be shown like saving a cat or doing something good. And this is, then you like them. And I feel like this is like the political equivalent of that. It's just like, look.
Yeah,
it is. That's why politicians like hold babies.
Yeah.
It's like, I can't be,
Maybe Blake Snyder can hit up the Australian government for a commission. Mm. You took my save the cat. Koala.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that's a thing. That's what I was surprised by is that it's like a diplomatic strategy with a manual.
Yeah, the manual really gets me that it's 600 pages long. Like that's
pretty. And I mean, partly it's to do with, because like if you're sending koalas to a zoo overseas, I think that sort of thing is how you could end up filling a manual, because they are complicated creatures, like their transport and their care.
Maybe there's some case studies in the manual from prior. I don't know.
Yeah, and like what not to do.
Yep.
The goals, I guess. Yeah, because it's all about just like getting, like furthering the image of the country. Well, I guess it's the same because, say, like Albanese riding a bike around Indonesia. Like there's all kinds of different stuff that people do for like the soft power.
Scott Morrison playing soccer. The fall was pretty hard, but you know.
Yeah. So like, whereas the koalas and the pandas, literally soft.
Yep.
Yeah.
It's interesting that the koala is more recognizable than the kangaroo. Like I think if people were to ask me what's the most iconic animal of Australia, I would say kangaroo first. But I guess, because of the level of diplomacy involved with koalas. And they're good toys as well. Like it's so much of our souvenir. Souvenir income is like, buy this koala for your grandkid back in, back in England.
All those little ones that are like a little like clip, they go on your pen, your pencil.
Clip on the pens and the keyrings and the, it's very easy to kind of, Yep. Well, there you go.
Yeah. So that's that. That's what koala diplomacy is.
Well, hopefully
just ship them around.
The government can recognize that if they want to keep using koalas in their diplomatic tactics, they probably need to do something about the fact that they are dying. So not to be real grim for a second, everybody, but to be a bit grim, it's not great.
They're losing a lot of habitat very rapidly. Yeah.
Anyway.
The end. Politics is wild. My sources for this were Wikipedia, the Sydney Morning Herald, The Conversation, Atlas Obscura, and the Department of Foreign Affairs and Trade.
Good old DFAT.
Okay. All right. Well, follow us on Instagram at AustralianoRama. And in our next episode in a fortnight is Maddie's turn.
Yes. And I'm going to be doing an episode on the 1940 Canberra air crash. which was quite significant.
I'm pretty sure I know nothing about it, but also it's possible that it's come up in other episodes
it
and
was
I won't remember.
Briefly mentioned in a prior episode.
Interesting.
As a thing that happened around the time.
Okay, cool. All right. So I don't remember, but it rings a bell. So that's always exciting.
Hooray.
Cool. All right. Great. See you then.